I'm excited to be here with you this morning, and I just appreciate you guys taking time out of your day and out of your weekend to join your hearts with ours as we begin to worship the Lord and as we hear His Word in community this morning. Amen. And so today we're in message two on a message called Love Like Jesus. And I just want to start out this morning with just a quick story for you this morning. It's about a guy that he recognized that he could tell something was wrong with him. And so he was sick and wasn't feeling good. So he knew he needed to go to the doctor. So he goes to the doctor, him and his wife, and they run all kinds of tests. And he says, I need you to go to a specialist. And so they go to the specialist, and they get there, and they run more tests. And then they find out what's wrong with the man. And so instead of talking to him, they wanted to talk to the wife first. And so they went to the wife, and they said, we need to speak to you. Your husband, he has a pretty serious condition. And he said that he has this pretty serious condition, but we feel, though, that if it's left untreated, that he's going to die, and he'll die rather quickly. And he said, but on the other hand, there are some things that can be done, and we believe that with your help, with lots of help from you, that he'll be able to make it. And she said, well, what all will I need to do? And he said, well, with his sickness, he's going to be on a really strict diet. And so you're going to have to cook him three meals a day. And then not only that, he's got to be in this real sterile environment. And so you're going to have to clean and keep the house clean and be at his beck and call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so with your help, he's going to make it. And so she says, okay, and she goes across the hall where her husband is, and he's really nervous, and he's kind of wanting to know what's going on, and he says, well, honey, what did they say? And she said, honey, I'm sorry, but you're going to die. She said, I ain't doing all that. I can't do all that. That's a lot, and I'm not going to do that. And I know that's kind of a cheesy story, but a lot of times I think that we see somebody in life that has a great need, and we're thinking to ourselves, you know what, I'm not going to do that. I'm not doing that. And if I can be transparent with you sometimes, and I hate to admit this publicly, but sometimes I can even have an attitude about it. I'm like, I ain't doing that. I'm not doing that. Yeah, and anybody ever been there? Look at your neighbor real quick and touch them on the shoulder and say, I ain't doing that. Now, some of you are looking at me, and some of y'all are looking at me saying, I ain't doing that. Yeah, because it feels too cheesy. Feels too cheesy, right? But I'm not going to do that. But anyways, in our message series, we're looking at Jesus, and we're looking at how Jesus loved and how he continually served people, and he did these incredible acts of love. And so last week, right here in this place, we got to see sinners come to Jesus. Amen. Last week we had people raise their hand and prayed the prayer and gave their heart to Jesus. And I'm so thankful for that. And over this week, I was very grateful and thankful and humbled that I had several people that said, hey, your message last week, it really touched me, and it helped me to be able to forgive and to get to that place of forgiveness. And so today I want to talk about serving. And I want us to look at the image of Jesus in a different way. We see Jesus in our scripture today. He's washing feet. And the picture of Jesus is him serving those around him. And so we're going to look at John chapter 13, and we're going to start in verses 1 and 2. And this verse, it will set the whole context for our story today of loving like Jesus. And so how do we do that? Well, one way we do that is washing feet. And so everybody, we're going to what? No, just kidding. I'm just kidding. Take your shoes off. Here we go. No, please leave them on. But we're going to look at John chapter 13. We're going to start in verse 1, and it says this. It says, it was just before the Passover festival, and Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. And so if you can picture this for just a moment, Jesus has actually just been living his whole life to get to this point in time. He's finally here where he would actually give his life for the sins of this world. He was born to do this, and he was living his life, and it all is coming to this point. And he understands what's going on. See, because this in this story where we're reading is the day before Jesus is crucified. All right? And so if you can imagine all of the emotions that must be running through his mind right now, you know. But the scripture goes on and it says this. It says, having loved his own who were in the world. So basically what he's saying here is that he loved them till the end. And if we're going to love like Jesus, we need to love until the end. Amen? Let's look at the next verse. Verse 2 says this. It says, the evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Betray, not betray. I'm sorry. But let's look at this. Jesus loved until the end, and we can see that we need to kind of get our mind wrapped around what's going on in this scripture this morning, because Jesus is just about to give his life for you and me. And if we look at this, we can look at his week leading up to this, and you're thinking, man, what an incredible, difficult week that Jesus was having this week. So if we look at Monday, we see that Monday he cleansed the temple, right, the Monday before he dies, okay, the Monday before Easter. He cleanses the temple. He goes in, he sees the money changers, and he turns over the table, and he says that my father's house will be a house of prayer, and he gets on to him. Well, then on Tuesday, we can see that as you read the scripture, you'll find out that he has this big fight with the religious leaders of the time. And then Wednesday comes along, and there's really no record of what happened on Wednesday, so nobody knows what Wednesday happened. They probably had a great Wednesday night service. Amen. But here it is. It's Thursday night. And he's gathered into this secret room with some of his closest friends, and he's ready to give his final speech and to share with them the body and the blood, the bread and the wine, and this historic and this heartfelt moment that he's having with his disciples, because he knows that the very next day that he's going to be beaten, he's going to be betrayed, he's going to be tortured, and he's going to be hung on a cross to die. And according to Luke's gospel, we can see here where an argument begins to break out among the disciples. You see, he's having dinner with them, and the disciples are acting like a bunch of two-year-olds. Amen. And one of them looks at the other, and he says, you know what? I wonder which one of us is the greatest. And another one probably says, well, that's probably me. You know, I'm probably the greatest. And then all of a sudden, here's this big dispute within the disciples. And they're wondering who's the best and who ranks the highest and who's Jesus's favorite. Well, I'm going to tell you, we don't know exactly what happened in that argument, but I can only imagine whenever I think about these disciples and have studied these disciples. I can imagine John, he's probably standing up. He's probably saying, well, you know what? I've got to be his favorite because I'm the one that he says he loves. And then I can imagine Peter, he's probably saying, well, hey, wait a minute. I'm the one that walked on water. You guys just stayed in the boat. And then I can hear another one of the disciples say, yeah, but you fell, didn't you? You sunk, didn't you, Peter? And, you know, I mean, and so you can just see this argument starting to happen. And who's the greatest? And I can only imagine here's Jesus in his last night, trying to really speak into the hearts and the lives of his disciples, and they're just having this argument. And I can see Jesus thinking to himself, who's the greatest? I've already told you that. I've already told you who is the greatest. If you guys will remember in the book of Matthew, in the Gospels there, Jesus says this. He says, the greatest is the one who will be your servant. And Jesus is thinking, you know, I've already told you guys this. And the greatest is the one who will be your servant. And Jesus goes on, he tells me, he says, I didn't come into this world to be served by others, but I came to lay my life down as a ransom for many. And he looks around the room, and I can imagine him sitting there, and he's seeing his disciples, and he's hearing his final meal with his closest friends. And what does Jesus see? He sees two things. He sees a proud heart, and he sees dirty feet. A proud heart and dirty feet. And Jesus probably thought to himself in that moment, he thought, you know what? I can wash feet. This one's mine. I can do that. This one's mine. And so the Bible tells us in chapter 13, verse 4, it says this. It says, so Jesus got up from the meal. He took off his outer clothing and he wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. So why did Jesus wash their feet? Well, this was basically a common courtesy that happened back in the in this time. For example, if you were to come to my house today and it was cold outside, I might say to you, hey, can I take your jacket and can I give you a cup of coffee? And that's what would happen if you were meeting someone in the house today. But if you were back in Jesus's day, you would be met with a kiss on the cheek, and then they would say, hey, can we wash your feet? And it's important for us to understand, though, how this would take place. You see, the master of the home, the host, he would never be the one to wash your feet because that was below his status. You see, most people back then, they would have a servant that would do this task because it was beneath them. And they were kind of like me at times. They were like, I ain't doing that. I'm not going to do that. And so so what they were basically doing is they were showing off a little bit. They'd be like, well, you know, I'm so important that I got somebody here and they're going to wash your feet for you. And so that this is how it would happen. But if we're kind of honest about this feet thing, isn't it kind of disgusting? Feet are disgusting, aren't they? If you imagined if you came to my house and I would say, hey, man, I'm glad you're here. Here's you a cup of coffee, and can I give you a pedicure? You'd look at me pretty funny, wouldn't you? I ain't doing that. I would never say that. So when you come to my house, you're not getting a pedicure, just so you know, because feet are nasty. But that was a job that was reserved for servants. And so here we are, we're seeing Jesus. He's at his final meal. It's the night before he's going to give his life. And he's looking around the room and he sees proud hearts and dirty feet. He's wondering, who's the greatest? They're over here thinking, oh, I'm the greatest, I'm the greatest. But then he looks at them and they all have dirty feet. And so what does he do? He gets up and he puts on this servant's apron. He gets a basin and he fills it full of water. And then he just starts to kneel down at his disciples' feet. And I can only imagine when he's doing this that the awe that's in the room, everybody's going, what is he doing? Why is he doing this? And, you know, I was trying to think of an analogy, an example that would equal this today. And I was trying to think that would be a little bit like maybe the Queen of England coming to your house and saying, can I clean your toilet? I mean, but even when we think about it that way, it's really not enough. Because, I mean, we got to think about this. I mean, this is Jesus. This is Jesus. He's the Son of God. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the living water. He's the bread of life. He's the Alpha, the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And here he is. He's going to wash our feet. Amen. I mean, and he stoops down and he does something that's reserved for a servant. For a servant. You see, he saw a need. He saw that their feet was dirty, and he thought to himself, I can do that. This one's mine. And he makes this act of kindness, and he serves his disciples because Jesus loved them to the end. And by doing something that everyone else thought was beneath him, the greatest one became the servant. Amen. Jesus, the Son of God, he knelt down and he washed feet. And he said, you know what? He could have said, you know, I'm the King of Kings. I can get anybody and everybody on this planet to serve me if I wanted to, but I'm not. He said, I came to serve and not to be served. And so one of the things that I was thinking about on this, and this is something I've been doing for quite a while. It's not just something I started, but, you know, something that I've tried to train myself to do, because I have to train myself to do things sometimes. I don't know about you, but I have to really work at it. If I want a new habit or a new hang up or something like that, I got to work at getting it. And so what I do is whenever I look around and I see something that I can do and I can say, now I can do that. I could do that. Not all the time do I say, this one's mine, though. I look at it and say, I could do that. But now what I've had to try to train myself to do is when I see a need, I have to say, God, is this an assignment from you? Is this something that you want me to do? And so I began to pray, and I began to ask God to help me distinguish that. And I want to challenge you this morning to do that same thing. When you wake up every day, I want you to just say, God, give me eyes to see those that I would not normally see. And give me ears to hear those that are hurting. And give me a heart to care. Because see, it takes all three of those things. Takes all three of those things. And I always have to say, God, if this is a need that I can meet, help me to pause for a moment and help me to find out if this is an assignment from you this morning. And so one of the things that I find out whenever I do this, that most of the time, whenever I believe that God has really given me an assignment, one of those things that I need to pause and ask him, is this something you're wanting me to do? Those are most of the time, those are the assignments that I think, oh, do I really need to do that? I ain't got time for that. I can't do that. I can, but I don't want to do that. And it's those moments of pride that I find that those are whenever I really believe that God wants me to stop and to meet that need. And I want to tell you about one of those times, and I'm not trying to brag on myself. I just want to tell you about this particular story, and I'm not bragging, but this time I did the right thing. And I know it in my heart. But back whenever Hurricane Katrina was hit and everything just was demolished down there in Alabama and Missouri and Louisiana. And well, we had, as a church, we had gathered up a bunch of things to take down there along with another church. And we had a semi-load just full of stuff, water and clothes and you name it. We had a bunch of it in there. And a bunch of us guys followed this semi all the way to Alabama. And we get down there. And I want to tell you, it was so sad to see all that destruction. But it was also so cool to see all the people that showed up to help and wanted to make a difference. And so while we're there, what we would do is we would take the daytime and we would just spend that time filling boxes with stuff. All the semis were unloaded and we just had boxes and we'd get every box. Man, you're just putting stuff in it and getting these boxes ready. Because at a certain time of the day, these cars, these people that needed this stuff, their homes had been destroyed. They didn't have anything. They would pull up in their car and they would pop their trunk and we would go by. We'd put a box in the back of their trunk and we'd shut the lid and we'd wave at them and they'd drive on. And I know in my heart, I knew that our goal was to get them through there as fast as we could. Just come on, everybody needs a box. Everybody's needing something. Let's get them through here. But I couldn't help but when I'd look inside the car and I would see these faces just hopeless, lost, and feeling like nobody cared. And it was in that moment that I saw a need because I had asked the Lord to open my eyes so that I could see the needs around me. And I had the ears to hear and I had a heart. God gave me a heart that day to care. And so instead of putting boxes in, I just left my post because there's a bunch of us and they could do that. But I just felt like God wanted me to speak to every person in that car and pray with them and encourage them. And so I'm not bragging on myself. I'm bragging on God because he chose me that day to be his servant. And I got to meet and pray with some incredible people. And I want you to know, it's changed my life from that day forward. He did more for me than he did for them, I'm sure. But it was in that moment where I saw a need and I said, hey, you know what? I can do that. This one's mine. And I stood up and I became ready for the task that day. And I want you to, can I tell you that when you get outside of yourself and you have eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to care, you're going to find these opportunities. God's going to open that up and you're going to see these opportunities. And when God gives you the eyes to see and hearts to care, well, then suddenly you're like, you know what? I can do that. This one's mine. And you're going to see sometime, maybe you'll see a friend that's moving and you're thinking, man, I don't have time for this. But I know they need help and people's helped me before. So I'm going to take some time and I'm going to help them and I'm going to move. You know what? I can do that. This one's mine. and you go and you help your friend move. Or maybe one week you'll be here at the church and you'll see that there's a trash can that's kind of overflowing, and you're thinking, well, somebody needs to empty that. And all of a sudden you say, you know what? I can do that. This one's mine. Nobody asked me to, but I'm just going to take and empty this trash can. Or maybe you're here one Sunday morning and you're walking by little angels and you see all the babies in there and you think, you know what? I've had a baby before. I can hold babies. I can tell them a story about Jesus. You know what? This one's mine. I can do that. But you know what happens in our society today, though? A lot of times, what happens is whenever we go down and we start to wash somebody's feet, we're washing their feet, and all of a sudden we think, oh, wait a minute. I gotta capture this. And, oh, I gotta get that Instagram shot. Hashtag, I'm helping, you know? Hashtag, look at me. I'm serving the needy. I'm helping the poor. And we want that recognition. Can I tell you, when you're serving with the right heart, nobody needs to know. When you're serving with the right heart, it's not about you. When you're serving with the right heart, it's not about your gift. When you're serving with the right heart, it's not about you getting recognition. It's all about God and for His glory. Amen? It's not about just the actions, but it's about the attitude that you do it with. Amen? Amen. Yeah, give the Lord a hand clap this morning. You see, we can look at ourselves and we can say, you know what? I was created and I was gifted by God, and I get to show the love of Jesus today. And when you have that right attitude, the right actions will start to follow, even if you don't even feel it. Amen? And so we have to find this right attitude, because it's not the actions, it's the attitude. You see, we have to say, serving is not what I do. A servant is who I am. It's who I am. Let me share with you another great story real quick. Here's a picture of Miss Laura Benavides. Everybody knows Miss Laura. Yeah. I wish she was over here to hear all the love, but she's over there serving in High Octane Kids. She's a servant. And one of the reasons I'm highlighting her today is because Laura has been in High Octane Kids ministry as a volunteer for 23 years. 23 years. Our very first Sunday, 23 years ago, on February, and 23 years ago, Laura came to me before service that day, and she said, hey, Pastor Jack, I just want you to know I'm here to help. If you need some help, I would love to help and serve in kids ministry. And here she is. I'm over here, and she's still there. She's still serving, amen? And so I just want you to know that she saw a need. She saw it, and she said, you know what? I can do that. This one's mine. And she stood up and she came to me. And you know what, Miss Laura, she may never know all the serving that she's done, the difference that it's made in these kids' lives. You see, because there's probably been hundreds, if not thousands, of kids over 23 years that have come through that kids' ministry, and she's impacted their life by serving them and helping them find Jesus. And she may never know all the things that she's done and all the things that God's accomplished through her being a servant, but I can tell you this, she's had the right attitude and the right actions followed. She's been there faithful for 23 years. You see, serving is not just something she does. A servant is who she is. And you know, while we're talking about kids this morning, you can take her off of the screen and go back to her title if you will. But while we're talking about kids this morning, I want to say this with love, okay? If you want your kids to be passionate about serving Jesus, they have to see you serve Jesus. You see, they need to see you not only serve Him outside of the home, but I want to tell you, they need to see you serving Him inside the home. You need to be the model. You need to be the leader. And they need to see this, because I want to tell you, there's nothing like seeing your kids serve the Lord. nothing like it. Let me tell you, because when they serve and they're in the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th grade, and they start serving the Lord here in the church, let me tell you what happens. What happens is they're not just going to church anymore. They are the church. I want you to understand that. They are the church. And suddenly in their lives, they're where they're needed and they're where they belong. And when they find out that they're making this contribution, and guess what? Then they want to be here. They don't say, oh, Mom, do we have to go to church this week? Dad, do we have to get up and go? I really don't want to go. But see, whenever they realize that they are the church, then all of a sudden they want to be here. They say, this is where I'm needed. This is where I belong. And I'm valued here. And all of a sudden their friendships start to form around being here at the church. And then it's not just something that they do, but then it's who they are. They are the church. Amen. How many of you know that if you're a follower of Jesus, that we're not a spiritual consumer, but we're to be a spiritual contributor? Amen? Please don't be upset at me. But I just want us to understand that the church, it doesn't exist for us. You see, we are the church. We exist for the world. We're not looking for a church to meet our needs. I don't know how many times I hear that. Oh, I've been looking for church for 2 years. I can't find one that meets my needs. Let me tell you, it's not a church is not to meet your needs. You're to be the church so that we can meet the needs of others. Amen? And that's what we're here for this morning. Amen. Remember, I'm talking to you from my heart this morning out of love. I'm not getting on to anybody here this morning, but I want to tell you something this morning. If this is your church, if this is where you worship, if this is where you grow, and if you're not using your gifts for God here in this church, then guess what? You're selling yourself short. You're selling yourself short. You see, Paul said to us, he said, you know what? We're all a part of the body of Christ, and we all have gifts, and we all need each other. And so if you're only going to church and you're not serving in the church as the church, then let me tell you, then you're selling yourself short, because there's something in this church that God is wanting to do, and it's not getting done. It's not getting done because you haven't said, God, give me the eyes to see. Give me that, Lord. Give me the eyes to see so that I can look at something and I can say, you know what? I can do that. This one's mine. But I want to tell you something. Whenever you serve others, that's when Jesus changes lives. And I want you to catch this. The first life that he usually changes is yours. He changes you. So what do you get when you serve? Because I know a lot of us, boy, what's in it for me? What do you get when you serve? I want to tell you, you get the thrill of being used by God. You get to know that in your heart that you just listened to somebody and you prayed for them and it made a difference in their life. And you can say, thank you, Jesus, I made a difference today for your kingdom. You see, sometimes we go around our day and you think, well, I'm a prayer warrior, and they don't even know it. They just thought that I was a school teacher, right, Cheyenne? They just thought you was a school teacher. They didn't know you were a prayer warrior ninja over there praying for them every day. Amen. And you know what? Some people, they think, well, you're just my yard guy. You just mow yards. Well, no, I'm a witness. You see, because when I'm out here mowing your yard, I'm praying over you. I'm sharing the gospel with you each and every day because I said, you know what? I can do that. This one's mine. Amen. You just thought you worked at a bank, but you're up there and you're loving on people like Jesus day in and day out, every single day. Because why? Because serving is not just what you do, but a servant is who you are. Amen? You have the thrill of being used by God. When you go to bed at the end of the day, you can look back at the day and you can say to yourself, you know what? God used me today. Today was a great day. It was a great day. But I want you to understand, though, if you spend the day on yourself, you'll be as empty as you've ever been. But if you'll invest in the life of others, you will be great, because the greatest is the one who serves. Amen. If you're not using your gifts somewhere in this church, I want you to know that you're robbing yourself of the blessing. You're not robbing us. You're robbing yourself of this blessing of making a difference in someone else's life, being used by God. You see, we need to purpose it in our hearts each and every day and say, you know what? I'm not going to sit in a chair that someone else paid for. I'm not going to let someone else take care of my kids week in and week out and not give back. You see, today I'm not going to let that happen anymore. Today, somebody's not going to open the door for me, not somebody else. So I'm going to open the door for them. Somebody's not going to make the coffee for me this morning, but I'm going to make the coffee for them. You see, we have to get it in our heart that I want to give back, because what a great servant does is serves. He gives back. I want you to understand, though, please understand this. This is not a plea for help in the nursery. This is not a plea for help anywhere in the church, although we could use your help. Amen. But that's not what this is about. I'm just saying this to you because if you'll do this, it will change your life. I want your life to be changed. I want the life of other people to be changed. And it's by you serving and saying, you know what? I can do that. This one's mine. And you get up and you do it. Can I tell you what? When you begin to serve, it'll even change those around you. You want your marriage to change? Start serving your spouse. You want your friendships to change? Start serving your friends. You want your community to change? Start serving in your community. You want your relationship with God to change? Serve the people in the church as the church. You want to see your life change? Serve other people, because when you serve others, God changes lives. And usually the first life he changes will be yours. Can I tell you, if you want to see your kids, you want to see them passionate about Jesus, then you got to live it at home. You got to serve outside of yourself, and you got to get busy with them, not just telling them, but sometimes you got to get busy with them using your gifts for the Lord. And then your kids will grow up and they won't be consumers, but they'll be spiritual contributors. Amen. Jesus didn't come to be served by others. He was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he said, I came to be a servant. So who's the greatest? The greatest is your servant. Amen. Jesus looked around the room that morning, that evening, and he saw proud hearts and dirty feet. And he said, you know what? I can do that. This one's mine. You see, when you have spiritual eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart that cares, you too will be able to say one day, you know what? I can do that. This one's mine. You see a need and you meet a need, because that's what a servant does. Amen. Stand with me if you would. Serving is just another way to love like Jesus. How many of you want to be like Jesus this morning? Amen. Bow your heads with me if you would. Father, we just come to you this morning, God. And Father, I just pray that you'd help us to love like you, first of all. Help us to be the church full of servants, looking for ways to meet needs of those around us and to show your love to this world. And Father, we just love you this morning. And while every head is bowed and eyes are closed, nobody looking around, I just want to ask you, if you're a follower of Jesus here this morning, you love Jesus and you serve and you do things, but you want to be even more faithful and more passionate about serving others. If that's you this morning, just lift your hand up really quick for me. Oh, look at this. Hands all over the place. We all want to be better servants. We all want to do more this morning. Thank you. You can put those down. And I just want to talk to those of you that might be here this morning. You say, well, you know what? I'm a follower of Jesus, but I know that I'm not using my gifts to make a difference. I've not seen the need, and I've not applied myself as a servant. But this morning, after hearing this message, that's no longer acceptable with me. And this morning, if I'm going to be a part of this family, then I'm going to give, and I'm going to serve, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to contribute. If that's you this morning, you say, you know what, I want to find my place in this church, and I want to serve as the church. I want you to raise your hand up this morning. If you're here this morning, you say, you know what, I'm not using my gifts, but God, from today on, I want to serve. I want you to leave those up for just a moment. Leave those hands up for just a moment. Jesus, would you open up doors for these people right now? Those that have got their hands up saying, I want to be a servant. I want to do more for you. I want you to give me eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart that cares. Father, that's these people with their hands raised right now. And God, I pray that by the end of this day, that you will let them see or hear of a need and let them say, you know what? I can do that. This one's mine. But you know, I also realize that this morning there may be some of you here this morning and you say, you know what, Pastor Jack, I would love to serve, but I don't even know where I stand with Jesus. I've not yet asked him to come into my heart this morning. And so this morning I want to give you the opportunity to ask Jesus into your heart and to pray that he would come in and forgive you of those sins. You see, the night before Jesus gave his life, he washed feet. And when he knelt down before Peter, Peter said, no, you can't do that. And Jesus looked at Peter and he says, look, Peter, he says, I tell you this, if you don't let me wash your feet, then you have no part with me. And Peter looked at him and he said, well, then wash all of me, Jesus. Can I tell you, that's a picture of what Jesus wants to do for you this morning. If you don't know him, he wants to wash all of you this morning. He wants to wash all your sins away, just like you were brand new. And he wants to make you a servant of his so that you can serve and you can look at things and you can see the need and you can hear the need and you can say, I have a heart that cares because Jesus lives inside of me now. And you know what? I can do that. This one's mine. If that's you and you want to pray that Jesus would come into your heart this morning, just raise your hand up this morning really quick and then we're going to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray together so that no one prays alone this morning, if you would. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Heavenly Father, today I give you my life. I ask you to save me. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Fill me with your spirit so that I can know you. Jesus, my life is not my own. I give it to you. Give me eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart that cares so I can serve you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen.